5 new exhibits are open at the Brattleboro Museum and Art Center. 5. The new exhibits showcase the work of contemporary artists confronting well-known masterpieces from art history and self-taught artists harnessing their personal experiences with autism and other developmental disorders. They reveal one artist's quest to capture the essence of water in motion and another's desire to stimulate fleeting moments of mindfulness among drivers barreling down the highway. Danny Lichtenfeld is the director of the Brattleboro Museum and Art Center. He joins us to tell us more about all the cool things going on at the Brattleboro Museum and Art Center. Danny, welcome back.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you here. Thank you very much, as always. So the new exhibits on view through June 13th. And first of all, tell us a little bit about the museum, the mission, and what you look for when you put 5 exhibits up.
Sure. The Brattleboro Museum and Art Center is a non-collecting museum. We present contemporary art. And so being a museum but not having a collection means we borrow the work that we exhibit, whether from the artists themselves or from the galleries who represent the artists or sometimes from other museums. And the work's up for a few months. And then we take it down, send it back, and bring in all new exhibits. And we try to maintain a mix of showcase the really outstanding art from throughout our region, but also bring world-class art to the region that people in our area might not have a chance to see without going to New York or Boston or Montreal or something. So that's sort of the general framework within which we pull together exhibits. And so we have these five new ones that opened up a few weeks ago and are up till June 13th.
I want to highlight the exhibits themselves in just a second, but do you want them to in some way work with each other, or can they be individual planets?
You know, we have, our museum is located in Brattleboro's historic Union Station building, got repurposed about 45 years ago and turned into a museum. And so we have 6 spaces that where we put up art, 6 galleries, 2 large galleries and 4 small ones. Sometimes we make an effort to have a coherent theme tying everything together throughout the 6 spaces. Other times, you know, you're working on pulling an exhibit together over months or even years, and it finally materializes and it fits into this slot at the same time that something completely unrelated is in one of the other rooms. That's more often the case, frankly, that they're not necessarily planned in relation to one another, the exhibits that happen to be up simultaneously. And then almost always one of the really fun and interesting things is discovering the ways in which these apparently unrelated exhibits touch on related issues and shed light on one another.
So June 13th comes, these 5 will go down. Then how long before the next ones go up?
So we've gotten really good at this. And we usually give ourselves a week or maybe even squeeze it into 5 days. Like the last day of one set of exhibits will be a Sunday. And then it's a flurry of activity. And then we'll have an opening on the next Friday night or Saturday. This coming June, we're giving ourselves an extra week of breathing room, and we're going to do some building maintenance. So the new exhibits will open June 24th.
So you know, I'm sure you've read, you're in the business, but, you know, the other museums do it. So they have one of the exhibits closed 1 week, and then you fill that space. And then but that doesn't work for you?
I know. We do that sometimes.
Okay.
We're a relatively small museum.
Okay.
So with a few of the small rooms, we can get away with that, and we have a sign up for a few days that says, please excuse us while we're changing over this room. And a visitor who might have arrived at that time feels like they still get their money's worth because there's plenty else for them to see.
Absolutely.
But when we change over our main gallery, the first gallery you walk into when you walk in the museum, if that gallery is changing over, then I'm not sure people are really getting their money's worth on their visit. So when we're changing over the main gallery, we tend to shut down altogether. And this time it just so happens that we're changing over everything all at once.
Visions from the Edge, an exploration of outsider art. How did this come about?
This came about with some ties in your listening area, in fact. This exhibit is curated by a man named Tony Gengarelli, who's a professor emeritus at Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts. Mm-hmm. and is the director of something called the Jessica Park Project at MCLA. Jessica Park, as you may know, is an artist who lives in Williamstown, Mass., who has autism and does remarkable, detailed, exquisite kind of architectural paintings. And we worked with Tony to present an exhibit of Jessica's work a couple of years ago. And that led to this current exhibit, which is a broader exploration of artwork by outsider artists. And now outsider art is kind of a complicated and fraught term. And without spending too much time on that or going too deeply into that, what we're focusing on in this exhibit within this large and murky genre known as outsider art is work by 12 artists on the autism spectrum or who have other developmental disabilities. And we've put this exhibit together in collaboration with an incredible organization in New York City called Pure Vision Arts. They were founded in 2002, and this is a resource, a studio, and a resource for artists with developmental disabilities. So they have all kinds of programs, both to provide instruction to artists with developmental disabilities, and also studio space, and exhibition opportunities, and help with marketing their work. And so we've worked very closely with them, and with a similar organization called the Good Purpose Gallery in Lee, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. which is related to an organization called College Internship Program, which provides opportunities and supports students with learning differences and developmental disabilities. And so we've worked together with these organizations, and Tony Giangarelli curated this exhibit. And so we have just a stunning show up right now in our center gallery that features work of 12 artists.
Seems like you do a lot of programs around that as well.
Yeah, we can. And in fact, so the curator, Tony, is giving a talk on May 29th. And we just this past weekend had a fascinating symposium where there was a panel discussion that was moderated by Tony and had people from those organizations that I mentioned there participating in the discussion, followed by a workshop led by a professor at Landmark College, which is located in Putney, Vermont, which is just in our backyard, and focuses on teaching college students with learning differences. And they have a high percentage of their Landmark population currently are students on the autism spectrum. Mm. So there was a great workshop led by Professor Christy Herbert on art and autism.
Another exhibit that you have going on is Are You Here?, which seems very fun, but also has some ties to our region, both upstate New York as well as western Massachusetts.
It does. So this is a funny little exhibit. It's it's photographs of billboards, and each billboard looks exactly the same. And it's by an artist named Jonathan Gittleson, who teaches at Keene State College in Keene, New Hampshire, lives in Brattleboro, in fact. And so what John's done over the past year or two is he has rented billboard space throughout New England and upstate New York. And so you may have seen his billboards in Gloversville and Hoosick and Amsterdam, Greenfield, Mass., elsewhere around the region. They're just big white billboards with big black letters in the middle that say, Are You Here? The exhibit that we have up at the museum has we have a billboard actually mounted to the back of our museum, mm-hmm. but in the gallery are photographs, beautiful photographs, of the billboards. And one video of one of the billboards, because it's one of those billboards that rotates.
It changes, yeah.
And changes. So we have a video up. And so John Gittleson is a conceptual artist, and a lot of the work he does it has a geography component. Or it's kind of place-based. John did a project not long ago where he mapped the melting of the snow in Brattleboro till there was finally one last patch of dirty snow in one shaded area behind a supermarket or something. So John likes doing these conceptual art projects with a geography component. And this one, this Are You Here?, is kind of a play on the "you are here" wayfinding phrase, and also John began collecting these vintage postcards from like roadside attractions that say "wish you were here," and he discovered that there was sort of stock imagery, regardless of where the what the location was. So it would be a standard image of a waterfall, and then it would say like "wish you were here, Copaic Falls," or you know "wish you were here, Bashbish Falls," and it's the same picture.
Place. Oh, that's great.
So all of this sort of, you know, was burbling around, and it ended up in this form, this project called "Are You Here?" And for John, I think part of the idea is, you know how you're driving and you're listening to WAMC or you're zoned out, you're speeding along, and you know that experience where many minutes will go by and you have no recollection of where you've just been. And so I think John's hope was that by drivers glimpsing these odd billboards that say, "Are you here?" it's like a moment of snapping you out of your hypnosis and into your current reality. And it's in that sense that I think for him, it's almost like a little fleeting mindfulness exercise. Like, be present, note where you are. Are you here?
Are you here? And it would be great if you had pictures of how people reacted to it. Little car camps, just how people reacted to those billboards. Very cool exhibit. In just a moment or two, tell us about the other three.
Sure. Well, the main exhibit up right now is called "Contemporary Artists Versus the Masters." This is, I think, 12 or 13 artists who have the work that we're showing of theirs is very specifically and deliberately their efforts at grappling with or reinterpreting or reimagining art historical masterpieces. Mm-hmm. Our chief curator, Mara Williams, put this together. And it came about because when Mara visits artist studios and visits galleries, there's always, artists always have their inspiration wall in their studio, and it's postcards and magazine clippings and sketches and family photographs that are up on the wall. And so many of today's artists, part of what they're interested in, part of what they're thinking about, and sometimes grappling with very directly, is their art historical forebears. So this exhibit consists of, I don't know, about 20 works by about 12 or 13 artists. And we have a reproduction in each case of the very famous masterpiece from art history on which one or more of the contemporary pieces are based. So, for example, we have one wall of work by several artists who are grappling with the famous painting called Las Meninas by Velázquez from the 17th century, golden age of Spanish art. So this is a painting that has intrigued and vexed viewers for centuries, raising questions, interesting questions about the composition of the painting and about reality. And three or four of the artists that we have included in this exhibit have taken on Las Meninas and sort of are wrestling with it. So one is an artist named Pam Glick from Buffalo, and she's really just distilled it to its compositional elements. Another one is a photographer named Joseph Fischnaller, who has staged these exquisite photographs of the characters from Las Meninas. But when you look up closely, all the finery of the clothing is actually food.
Oh, cool.
it's cool and
disturbing,
kind of creepy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So that's just a quick example from that main exhibit, Contemporary Artists Versus the Masters.
We are out of time pretty much, but I know you have, there's some events coming up. We mentioned one of them. What else did you want to mention?
Oh, great. Thank you. Yeah. This coming weekend, we're putting flowers on display throughout the museum for Mother's Day weekend, Saturday and Sunday. A number of local florists and gardeners are donating beautiful floral displays just to make it that much more of a cheery place to come visit over Mother's Day weekend. And in fact, the first X number of mothers who come over the weekend, I can't remember what that number is, are going to get some sort of floral gift to take home as well. So come stop by this weekend. And I'll pause there since we're out of time. But I'll suggest that anyone interested in learning more about what we have going on at the Brattleboro Museum and Art Center, visit our website, www.brattleboromuseum.org.
Brattleboro Museum.org for more information. That link will be posted along with this interview. So if you want to hear back, you can. WAMC.org/roundtable, but again, BrattleboroMuseum.org. Danny, thank you very much for being with us. A reminder, the exhibits are on display through June 13th, and you can find out more at BrattleboroMuseum.org. Danny Lichtenfeld, thank you very much for being with us. Always
thank
good
you,
to see
Joe.
You.
Same
thank
here.
You. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.